Oh, let's fade that down. The time is 6:01 in the p.m. You're listening to 91.7 KOOP Hornsby Austin. Thank you to Rod for filling in with an awesome edition of Around the Town Sounds. Coming up next is the Mascot Wedding Show. But first, off of her album Interstellar, this is Frankie Rose. It's going to be a good show, guys. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. It would be a better show if I press play on the track. There it is. Well, it's like we're journeying to outer space. Or we're in a planetarium. Planetariums used to scare me, guys, because they would talk about how the Earth would blow up. Well, no. The sun would turn supernova, and then the Earth would go into it. And even though it was like a million years from now, I was like, that's going to happen to me, because I was raised Catholic. Good show. That's going to show coming up. Maybe. How about now? Man, this is some professional ass radio we got going on here. Hey guys, the time is 6:05 in the PM. You're listening to 91.7 KOOP Hornsby Austin. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is Mac Blake. David Hart is on assignment. This is the show where you open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, please do. The phone number is 472-5667, 472-K-O-O-P, in case you like letters instead of numbers. Anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it, nobody else, so quit your bitching! We're also on Twitter. We are at Mascot Wedding. You tweet it, I see it, I read it. That's how the show goes. We started off the show with Frankie Rose, the title track off her album Interstellar. That was Interstellar, and if you listen to the beginning, that is how that song makes me feel, like I was in a planetarium. But hey, guys, I'm not doing it alone today. I have a special co-host. He's guest hosted the show before several times. He's a friend of the show. He's on our show's friend Matt Rudd. Shut up, Mac. Lance Gilstrap, everybody. Say hello, Lance.
Hello, everybody.
That's
hello,
true.
Mac.
Lance is a member of Midnight Society and other awesome Austin comedy troops and a pretty awesome comedian. Lance, thank you for hosting again the show.
No, thanks for having me.
Hosting again the show?
Hosting again. Proud to host again.
Look, if we take every word I say and write it down in a diagram, it'll be here all day and it'll be a terrible show. We also have a special in-studio guest. He's a member of the Frank Mills, one of Austin's best improv troupe, if not the best. Sorry, I'm in that society.
Oops.
And he also teaches classes at Cold Town. He has more comedy experience than anyone ever. And he's one of the funniest guys in Austin. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Buckman.
Hey, Mac.
How's it going, Dave?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for coming on the show.
How do I get on assignment from the Mascot Wedding Show?
Well, on assignment is the term we use when David's gambling problem catches up to him.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, he's on assignment. Wink, in jail. Wink, being beaten up right now. Either one. So don't have a gambling problem is my advice to you.
Check.
Or you know what? Or do. I'm not the boss of you.
I'm gonna now.
See? I don't like that. Well, first of all, let me check in with our co-host, Lance. Lance, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing fighting a little under the weatheredness.
Me too. What are your symptoms?
I don't really want to list those on the radio, but, you know, coughing, sneezing, that sort of thing.
So, in other words, your symptoms get a little gross, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
butt soup? Little butt soup?
No, none of that.
Do you got a case of the vinegar toots?
You guys are disgusting. No, coughing, sneezing, that sort of thing.
Buy a medical dictionary. Vinegar toots is in there.
Okay, fine. I got that too.
All right. By the way, that was not a call to action. You listening at home do not have to go buy a medical dictionary. I have a cough, which I will. I'll have my finger on the cough button today, guys. But you may hear a little cough into your radio. Don't think that that is someone in your car in your back seat coughing to get your attention. That's just me coughing. I get a lot of calls like, "Hey, is there a guy in my back seat, or did you just say something?" And it's me. You're listening to the radio right now, guys. I shouldn't have to explain that.
Why do they have the fader all the way to the back? That's just confusing.
Don't tell people how to listen to the show.
Okay.
Look,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Is that not how you listen to the radio? Look, I have nothing more. I'm cruising home at work. I put on my man Rush because I'm all about the dittos.
Right.
And I fade it all the way to the back. And then I think a psycho is behind me. Is what it works out to be. Oh, we should get rid of that. It's just the weird guy. Oh, that's good. Starting out the show real hot. Oh, boy. Dave Buckman, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
You, as previously stated, are a member of the Frank Mills.
Yeah.
You also teach classes at Cold Town.
I do.
What else do you do around this burg?
I act in plays.
You
and,
do?
Some short films.
I just saw a play of yours 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Moonlight Magnolias.
Yeah, it's right next door.
Yes, at the City Theater. Somebody was talking about Austin being like a hippie town. Mm-hmm. Like a crazy, you know, weirdo town. And they're like, I was telling them about the co-op, the community radio station that we're broadcasting from right now. And he's like, well, where is it? I bet it's located inside a mushroom house. And I was like, no, it's in a business strip. And he's like, oh, okay. And I was like, what are the other businesses in the business strip? And I was like, well, a city theater, an acupuncture place. Why? And he's like, well, there you go. That's Austin.
Uh-huh.
I'll say it's about the City Theater. That was the first time I've been in it, even though it was next door to co-op. That place is huge.
Yeah. I wouldn't have known what an awesome little spot that is.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say definitely have a door to another dimension.
Yeah.
And that's where the theater is located at some point. That's how they get the extra space. Like, kind of like Batman did in that one movie.
Mm.
Let's not explore that. you act in the...
Act in a play, and I'm also just directed a blacklight underwater puppet show, improv show.
Dave, I have to stop you there. That play was actually directed by David Buckman.
Oh, that's right.
And you are Dave Buckman.
We're cousins. That's so funny.
That was hanging up at Cold Town, and I saw David Buckman, and I thought to myself, is there another guy named David Buckman?
Is that funny?
I think you had said that to me. Oh. And I think I was like, I don't know, probably.
Wait.
No, that was me. I directed that.
Tell me about that.
It's this company.
And get a little bit close to the mic as well.
This company called Puppet Improv Project, and they do puppet shows, but they had a blacklight neon puppet portion in their last show, and they wanted to pull that out into a much larger show. So
uh-huh.
I've been working on that for the last month, and that just opened last night.
So it's like puppets and then like what, Pink Floyd plays? Is that what's
no,
going on?
No, they do improv games and basically do a Harold.
But with fish.
It's all puppets. Underwater. It's all underwater. And it's PG rated too.
And where is this?
At the Doherty Arts Center on Barton Springs Road.
And when does it run?
Tonight, last night, and next Friday and Saturday.
Well, time travelers can go see it last night. How was last night's show?
Pretty good.
Time travelers got a good show tomorrow.
When you say it's all underwater, do you mean it takes place underwater or their puppets are literally under the water?
We fill the auditorium with water and expect our audience members to bring their own oxygen tanks.
Well, I meant it could have been in a fish tank, Dave. I meant, are they literally submerged?
No, they're puppets. Why would you put a puppet underwater?
I would advise against making jokes about the format because this format realistically already sounds like kind of a joke. Like,
yeah.
Not a joke as in like stupid, but joke as in like...
No, the whole thing takes place underwater.
Okay.
High concept.
It is high concept improv. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Oh.
And the pictures... Because it's all black light, so everybody's wearing black, and you really look like everything's floating. But the pictures, when you take a picture of it, you really can't see that there's anybody else on stage. So it really looks like they're floating.
And the name of the show again is?
Off the Reef.
Off the Reef. So, and you are not from Austin.
No, I'm from New Jersey and Philadelphia.
New Jersey?
New Jersey. Jersey Shore and halfway to Philadelphia.
And you used to work at... Second City.
In Chicago.
Yeah, and also, what was that place in Amsterdam?
Boom Chicago.
Boom Chicago.
Boom Chicago.
You've been there, done that.
I did.
What?
I did.
Can I ask you a question?
Please. Anything.
Anything?
I'll answer anything. I spent 2 years in Amsterdam.
Is this an AMA? Oh, we're not going to talk about your God's green herb here, Dave Buckman.
No, there's a lot more going on in Amsterdam than that.
Oh, interesting. You've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
You're an experienced guy. Sounds like you got your fingers in a lot of pies. Let's let that comment pass.
Sure.
What keeps you in Austin?
Well, the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the community. The improv comedy community is unlike, and the scene is awesome. There's 5 theaters here.
God, it is sweet.
I just like doing shows. I don't really care to be famous. I just want to do shows. Mm-hmm. And be prolific and do crazy, ridiculous shows like an underwater puppet neon blacklight show. That's ridiculous. I'd never do that in L.A. No one would ever come to that in L.A. So I just like doing the shows. And the people here are fantastic.
I got to agree with you. Austin is definitely a place where I feel like if you think of a crazy show, you probably have a really good chance of getting it on as long as you ask somebody.
Yeah, I was just talking to Sam Van Meter recently about this. And he said it's like Austin is the kind of place where so many of those kind of shows just come and go. And if the city had any idea how ridiculous these shows are, they'd put a lot more attention and money into it because it's unlike any place else.
Yeah. You hear that, L.A.? Come check it out.
I mean, seriously, I mean, people would sneer at that kind of show in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But we had 24 people on opening night last night, which is, I mean, not a huge theater audience, but it was unbelievable that that's going on during Fun 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 Fest.
Yeah. No, and you know, it's funny. It's like Fun 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 Fest is such a magnet that you'd think that...
right.
It, like, the rest of the town would be dead. Not the case.
No, there's so many other things going on all the time.
I was at a thing last night.
Describe it.
Nah, it's like, you know, I can't promote stuff for myself. But I was at a thing, and I was like, oh, Fun 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 Fest is going to kill the crowd for this. No.
That's awesome.
Jam-packed. It's like, yay, Austin. Yay. So how long have you lived in Austin?
It'll be me and Rachel moved here. Rachel and I.
Rachel Madorsky.
My wife. My
one
lovely
half
wife.
Of yep. Rachel and Dave.
We moved here, I think it's 9 years December 1st.
9 years December 1st.
Or is it 8 years? 8 years or 9 years?
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
I mean, I was here, but I wasn't present when you got here.
2004. December 2004. What's that?
2004?
That's 8 years.
That's like 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah. We can do the math on that one. That's 8 years. And you guys are collectively one third of the Frank Mills.
That's right. That is right. And the full boat of Rachel and Dave.
Yes. Is that how you guys prefer to be introduced? Ladies and gentlemen, here comes a full boat. Rachel and Dave. And then seagull noises. Seagull noises. Oh, wait, we got a new Foley artist on the show. Rick Foley, amateur Foley artist. Yes, and you are performing tonight?
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Who else is performing at 10 o'clock?
Midnight. Oh, I'll bet I can answer that question.
Go ahead, Lance. Take it away.
Midnight Society.
And who's in that?
It is.
Who cares?
Who is in that these days?
No, who isn't it these days?
It's me, Lance Gilstrap, and Jericho Thorpe, and Joel Keith, and Michael Williams. And tonight, special guest Courtney Sevener will be playing with us.
Courtney Ooh. Sevener, also of The Hustle Show.
Actually, tonight will be a full cast Frank Mills show, which is a rare thing these days.
Well, that's a really cool thing to see.
All 6 of us. You know, probably the last one for the year.
I actually got a chance to perform with the Frank Mills 2 weeks ago.
Well, Rachel and Dave.
Rachel and Dave. Well, what
I don't want to take anyone.
What are you doing?
Sorry.
Well, I mean, because I bumped into you.
You could put Frank Mills on your resume.
Did you call Rachel and Dave when you started the show, or what'd you call it?
Frank Mills.
Oh, there we go. And put it on your resume. Look at that condescension. So thick. Gets a lovey-dovey about the scene and doesn't miss a chance to dress me down. I bumped into you after the show, this radio show.
Yeah.
And I got a text and you're like, hey, we need some people to play. Do you and Jimena Estrada want to play? And as soon as I got that text, my body exploded with sweat.
What?
never more nervous than going on stage.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no, I'm not kidding. But then again, I always sweat like a monster anyway on stage. So for folks in the theater, they could not tell what kind of sweat it was.
It was a good show. I thought it started kind of shaky, but then about the halfway through, you found a really good rhythm.
Yeah, some shaky rhythm. That's what I like about it. Guys, I want to talk to you about something. And it, well, first of all, how was your Halloween? Anybody have a crazy Halloween or anything?
I wish I had a crazy Halloween story, but I don't even remember what I specifically did on Halloween night.
We made dinner and watched TV.
It was
nice. Actually, we'd been away for so long that it was just nice to sit down and just have a normal night.
I went to someone's birthday gathering on Halloween, and I threw together a costume of a Star Trek uniform with a Dracula cape.
So it was just like a Wednesday for you?
Yep. Yeah, that's typically what I wear.
Honestly, I would watch that episode of Star Trek, like Captain Vampire, or maybe just Picard turns around and he's like, oh, I'm a vampire, because that would work out in space, right? Because unless you like flew past the sun, or would any kind of starlight, well, then they were in close, never mind. This obviously is
Is it any star, or is it just the sun?
I don't know. There was that movie Life Force that's about space vampires.
No, really?
Yeah.
Does a
Toby Hooper.
If you film the sun, because in the Starship Enterprise, mm-hmm. right, they just put things, they just look through like their TV in front of them.
Right.
What is that called?
A TV.
Okay.
So I think on screen, or they just call it the screen or whatever.
So Picard would be like, you know, be like, sir, the Romulan craft is hailing you. And he's like, put it on the TV. Like he would say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
he
so
would slap it on the tube is what he'd say.
So, he's like, so let's say they slap it on the tube, but it is a star. Like, slap a picture of a sun on the tube. That's my Patrick Stewart. We got to deal with it. And deal with it. Like I'm the
deal with it.
Now, would that just putting a star on the TV, would that burn a vampire?
No.
Yeah, probably not. I'm going to say no.
So if you're a vampire that gets into space, as long as you don't look at a sun through a window, man, you got free reign up there.
Yeah, but I mean, but there's other ways to kill a vampire.
It is a space stake through the heart.
Right? Yeah, space steak. It has to be a space steak if you're in space. It's got to be a space steak through the heart.
Space garlic.
Space garlic.
Space garlic.
Can regular humans, is space garlic safe for regular people?
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, because it's in space.
Yeah, your space stew or whatever you can use. Here's one thing I have always wondered about vampires and garlic. There's never been a movie where they died from garlic. They don't like it, but they've never died from garlic. Is it possible to actually kill them with garlic?
What if they had to eat it? Would it rot them
like
from the inside
them?
Out? Yeah, like trick them like they do with Superman and Kryptonite.
Oh, they'd stick it like, you know, stick it in its hoagie or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe melt a hole right through them.
See, I don't think garlic's supposed to kill vampires. It just kind of keeps them away. They don't like it.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's like if I ate shampoo. I mean, that probably wouldn't kill me, but I probably would have...
Would a cross kill a Jewish vampire?
See, I don't think so.
And yeah, that's a good question.
If the guy started out as Jewish and then became a vampire, but still practiced Judaism.
Well, I think on your first night of being a vampire, you have to convert.
To what?
To Christianity.
What?
So that the cross will work.
I think if you're...
That's racist.
I think if a vampire bites a non-Christian, they don't become a vampire, right?
Why not?
Because it's
just not, Christian mythology?
It's not their religion.
What, vampires?
Yeah.
Don't have religion?
Uh-huh.
Vampires do have religion.
You said it.
What are you saying?
Uh-huh.
Have an opinion.
Yep. You got it. Yep. So for Halloween, I went to go see a rock and roll show. I went to go see the Divine Fits, and they were playing at Stubbs. And a lot of people were in costume, and that was fun. But they at Stubbs, they have like the main sort of place where you stand, which is Stubbs. But then to the stage left, they have a balcony where people can stand. And there was one guy up in the balcony, and he was playing air guitar. But he was not playing air along with the music. He was not playing air guitar just in the air. He was playing like air guitar on his cane. And it was not a costume cane. He wasn't like, I'm a pimp or I'm an old man, like as a costume. He literally had a cane. And he was just like wailing away on the air guitar, but it was really ornate air guitar. Like he wasn't just, you know, what I would do, which is like just move my fingers like I'm like rubbing a kitten's belly. He was like doing the chord progressions and like, you know, the proper fingering and everything. And he was like, and at times he would, you know, he'd be like, just like doing the hands and like point at the band and then back to the air guitar. And I really wanted the scenario to happen where, like, Britt Daniel or that other guy, Dan Ba 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 Ba. Beckner. It's Dan Beckner.
Okay.
Would, like, break their hand and, like, oh, man, I can't play guitar anymore. And, like, you with the cane. Like, come on down. Don't think we didn't see you, buddy. We definitely noticed. And then he comes down and just rocks out. Now he's in the band. How awesome would that be?
That's what you're thinking about during the concert?
Well, yeah, when I looked up and saw him.
I see.
I mean, it's not a visual spectacle. It's just a couple of skinny guys up on stage rubbing shoulder blades together. I don't need to watch that all the time. Also, at concerts, Hey, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I was oddly proud of myself because usually when I go to concerts, there's a section of the concert where the people around me are being jerks in some way.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there wondering, is this going to be a thing?
Right.
And I'm not enjoying the show because I'm wondering, like, man, is this jerk going to shove his girlfriend into me and then I got to fight him or something like that? But
you're always at the ready at a concert.
I'm wound up sometimes,
you
guys.
You can't just enjoy the music?
Well, here's the thing. At this show, didn't happen once. I did nothing but enjoy the music. I did have a little fantasy about a guy playing air guitar and a cane, but that I felt like that added to it.
You just wanted to fight.
See, I don't want to fight. Mm. I mean, I get wound up about stuff. I've talked about this on the show before. If you are younger and you get into a fight, what's going to happen? Like some gym teacher will probably pull you off, dust yourselves off, you shake hands, you're best friend of the guy's wedding. But when you're an adult, fights end in death or jail.
Hmm.
It's
right.
Like, I can't afford, like, I don't have health care. Why would I get into a fight with some guy? I mean, that would be pretty aggro if you, like, really wanted to fight a guy, but you were, like, also responsible. So you're like, I'm going to study hard. And you, like, get a job and you're, like, super mad. You know, like, you're in school, like, studying up and the Dropkick Murphys Boston song is playing. And you're, like, studying.
Because you're at that concert.
Yeah. And you're, well, you're it's a montage. And, you know, how's that song go?
I don't know.
I'm the worst.
There's lots of yelling.
I don't know any of these bands. I'm so old.
Well, have you seen The Departed?
Yeah.
It's all those yelly songs, Irishy yelly songs.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so you're like studying through school and like, and you get a job and then you wait. Exactly.
Hey!
And then like,
hey!
And then like 3 months into the job.
I'm guessing that's what it is.
3 months in, you finally get health care. And they're like, yes! And then you go find that guy and you fight him.
That had a twist at the end. I thought you were just going to show him up and like get a great career. And
no, this guy is still not me. This is me doing this. This is some guy who's like super aggro.
Right.
I'm not that aggressive.
What does aggro mean?
Like aggressive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It also means agriculture.
Guys, we should say this. Dave is about 85 years old.
I'm 40. I'm 40. But I don't know half these bands.
He's lived 8 lifetimes ago. So right. What was that? Hold on. 8 times 4. 320 years old.
That's me. I'm a vampire.
You've crammed it
space
in.
Space vampire. Oh, guys, look out.
Kill you with a space steak. Now I know your weakness. Good job, dummy.
Steak.
So that was my fun Halloween story. B plus, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
B plus. I'm so unaware of what's going around me at concerts. I have been literally kicked in the head. Like, so just into the concert that a foot came out of nowhere and kicked my head.
What was the concert?
Explosions in the Sky.
What?
Yeah, right?
Explosions in the Sky is like the softest rock ever. It's the softest, like...
Yeah, it's build-up space rock. So yeah. it takes like 20 minutes for them to get to a part that you would consider actual rock. And this wasn't during that part. It was just like during the like, you know, noodly like ramp up part. And some kid just like, I don't know what he was doing. Some kind of karate, space work karate. And he kicked me in the head. I mean, he apologized afterward and offered me gum.
Did you take the gum?
No, I don't want any gum.
Did you try and trade up? Was he like, I'm sorry, man, you want some gum? And you go, the whole pack. You give me the whole pack.
How much is in your wallet? I was just like, yeah, hey, I'm mad, but leave me alone. It's all right. Let's just walk it off.
I was dressed like Jake from Adventure Time, who was a dog. I was in costume at the Divine Fit show, and this girl came up to me. And she goes, are you supposed to be a frog? And then I was like, no, I'm a... And she goes, oh, you're a dog. That rhymes with frog. And then disappear into the night. That was the entirety of that interaction.
Wow.
Yep. Concerts, man. Yeah. Also, this guy in front of me was smoking some weed. And literally, the weed smoke was coming out like a cartoon good smell. Mm-hmm. You know, when the character's like, I'm trying to resist eating that pie.
Oh, and
it
turns
cartoon.
Into a hand and grabs the person.
And it literally was like, because the minute was like in front of me. And it literally was like crawling around, like going to her nose and like tickling it almost. Which she doesn't even like that stuff. So it was weird to see.
I like that bit, like on those cartoons.
Yeah.
That's a funny bit.
Man, yeah. Cartoon bits are the best.
Yeah.
There was that episode of, it was like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where his rabbit hole fills up with water and he's sleeping. He gets up in the middle of the night. You know what he does? He gets a glass of water to drink. He does it. He does it. I don't even know if water came out of the faucet or if he just turned it on and he was like, back to bed.
The whole thing is filled up. He just
Yeah. See?
I know that bit. It's so good.
Man, cartoon bits. I was watching an episode of Futurama And Fry was like, I'm going to be the pilot. And then he clicks all these little like knobs in the cockpit. He's like, click, 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 click. And then he turns on the autopilot. And the autopilot immediately undoes all his work. And that killed me. It killed me. Speaking of Futurama, this is a awkward trend. No, it's pretty good. I didn't mean to say awkward. Star Wars. Star Wars news this week. Lucasfilm sold itself to Disney.
Yeah.
So Disney owns all of Star Wars now. How do you guys feel about this? Lance, you're a big nerd. Go first.
I think that while I have a few thoughts on it, while I'm like, let's all collectively get over Star Wars. That's like my general feeling.
Yes, I think we can all agree on that.
Right. I mean, I love the first three movies, but I always feel like let's get over and stop talking about it. I do feel like if there is going to be another movie, let's get not Lucas involved. Like, you know, he's not going to be directing it. I think that if there is going to be another movie, it's great that he's not going to be doing it. Also, it means they'll eventually release the theatrical version, like without all the touch-up stuff on Blu-ray. That's really all I care about.
By the way, I should say that Jericho Thorpe just tweeted at us, and he says, Patrick Stewart has a bit part in Life Force. He kisses a dude. And then he also says, also, Count Trekula. Would be the name of that
Count
movie.
Trekula.
Count Trekula.
Count Trekula.
Well played, Jericho.
Dave Buckman, what about you? Thoughts on this thing?
What
level is your Star Wars fandom? Did you see the prequels?
Did I see the prequels? No. I did not see the prequels. I saw the original ones when they came out, and that's probably the last time I saw them.
Okay, so you never had any sort of Star Wars
mania. I just never got... I'm not a sci-fi guy. Uh-huh. I can't... It bores me to tears, sci-fi. But I will say this. Any one of us, if we had anything in our house lying around that Disney wanted to buy, I'm sure none of us would hesitate to sell it to Disney for the top.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I don't blame George Lucas.
I don't think anyone's mad about him selling it to Disney.
Okay, that's what I wanted to talk about, because I don't see why anyone would be mad about it.
No, I mean, he's been such a monster to the series that I don't think anyone's like, oh, he lost control, what a sellout.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, how is this nothing but a good thing? Because fans of it, you're going to get more movies. And here's the thing.
It's not like they could be watered down any more than it is.
Exactly.
He watered it down to water.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh man, you know, like, it's not in the hands of Luke. I mean, because the first three, is like, sure, those were the work of maybe like a visionary work. Like, this is this one guy's vision. And people helped him out with it, definitely. But
I was more upset by the Muppets being sold to Disney.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that was a tragedy.
I know a lot of people that are upset, and I need new friends, are upset by Disney's treatment of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah?
Because, I mean, honestly, like, this is going to sound... But if you read those books, those A.A. Milne books, those are sweet little novels, and then, like, Winnie the Pooh's like, I'm a big dummy in the books. I don't give a rat's ass about Winnie the Pooh, and so this doesn't bother me at all. Huge comic book guy, and I was nervous when Disney bought Marvel. But then I was like, you know what? Disney owned Miramax when Pulp Fiction came out.
Right.
Like, or they, you know, at least had a control, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. If they make some dumb, like, cartoon-esque movie, that's not going to bother me, because I don't, you know... more interested in the comics. It's not like George Lucas could water this down anymore. It's like you said. I mean, like he made the Darth Tater. Like, it's a Mr. right, Potato Head right. that looked like Darth Vader.
What happens when Disney starts buying things that like are not like creative
property,
like a state that's like out of money? Like, Illinois is going to be bankrupt first. But
They own a lot of Florida.
Right.
But I feel
but like it's just corporations start buying actual states.
But the weird thing about Disney, I feel like, is that the only things that got going for them these days are their stables. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Marvel and Avengers was like huge. Pixar is great. And now they own Lucasfilm. It's like, what is the actual... Well, I guess Wreck-It Ralph just came out.
Right.
But like, there's a Robert Smigel cartoon where they go inside the Disney vault and they pull out all the racist movies. And
that's a great one.
There's a part in that where they're talking to Mickey Mouse and he's like, he said something about being funny, and the kids go, you're supposed to be funny? And then they all look at each other like, boy, like awkward. Because, yeah, like they don't do anything with Mickey Mouse. I mean, do kids even know that he was in a cartoon, or is he just like, oh, he's the guy that owns that amusement park?
He's like Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, exactly. He's like the little
Monopoly
man.
Well, it's hard
to
rebrand Mickey Mouse. He's so lame to begin with. There's no real, like, they're not going to find a fresh take on Mickey Mouse to make him seem remotely interesting.
Yeah.
He's not an interesting character.
Yeah, name the best Mickey Mouse movie.
Fantasia.
Right, and that's not even really a Mickey Mouse movie.
Right?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse is just like, oh no, stuff's happening. Eh, what are you going to do? They should take that mouse and be like, you know what? Here's 2 weeks. Get out of here. Bring in those DuckTales guys. Right. Uncle Scrooge, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, the adventures they had.
You think Mickey would only get 2 weeks compensation?
Well, I mean, come on. It's Disney, man. What do you think they got rich by giving people huge buyouts?
It's Mickey Mouse. Yeah, I'm sure Mickey has a golden parachute.
All right. So maybe they'll set up Mickey with like a PR saving thing. Like, all right, Mickey, you get $1 million a year or something like that. You know, but just probably less than Mickey is used to.
Mickey's got a nut.
I don't know. I heard Mickey likes to spend.
he's with David right now at the tracks.
they both love Gamblor, their gambling god. Well, tell you what, guys. Why don't we take a break? Star Wars covered. Boom. Everyone's happy. I mean, that was kind of big news. Like the fact that there'd be more Star Wars movies coming out. But you know what? It's this weird thing where it's kind of like, at the same time that no one can be mad about it anymore, I feel like maybe now it has to kill the excitement a little bit. Because it's like, oh, Star Wars, they were these special things. And then, sure, they were bad, but they waited 30 years to make, you know, prequels. And now it's like, oh, there'll be one every 3 years. So it's like a, you know, who cares? Exactly. I think they should...
How many Twilight movies are there?
There's going to be 4, right? Because they split the last book into 2?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's... Who cares anymore?
Lots of people, unfortunately.
Yeah. You're talking to the wrong guys here. Yeah. This is a show full of oldies. Hey, Lance.
Hey, Mac.
What are we going to hear?
Oh, my gosh. We are going to hear Joanna by Little Comets.
Off of what album?
I don't know the name of the album.
That's fair enough.
I thought you were going to take care of that.
It's a Joanna single. That's going to show coming back. Scatman. Oh. F you, your whole crew was whack. Hey guys, the time is 6:40. It's the Mascot Wedding Show. My name is Mac Blake, special guest host.
Let's get right.
Special in studio guest.
Dave Buckman.
That is correct. We just heard Joanna by the Little Comets off of the Joanna singles, what I played that off of. If that's off an upcoming album, well, that's, you figured out, genius. I like how aggressive I am with the listeners.
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Yeah.
Or aggro, right, Dave?
I'm real aggro, right?
Very agricultural. Mac, I have a statement to make.
Please, make a statement.
I just got texted by my wife, Rachel.
Yes?
Who told me that I was mean to you. And I need to apologize, and I do. I was too callous about your involvement with the Frank Mill Show. And want you to know that I have long wanted to do a show with you and Haman, and I'm really happy we got to, and I really appreciate you playing with us.
Oh, well, I really appreciate it too. I definitely long wanted to do a show with you and Rachel, and was also long afraid to. I'm glad that it happened, and I didn't have a lot of time to think about it.
Well, we should do it again sometime.
Yes, we should definitely do it. Oh, hey, how's it going, Lance?
Oh, hey guys.
We were just talking about nothing. Don't worry about it. So let me ask you this, Dave.
What's up?
I don't know if this is... Well, you know, Lance, too, of course.
Rachel's texting me again.
Rachel, we're on the show right now. There's a thing called Twitter, Rachel. Sign up for it. She's not on Twitter, is she?
No.
Get on it, Rachel. We want to hear what you're eating and photos of that sandwich you made. That's what people do it for. Stupid joke. Anyway, were you guys religious growing up? Or even now? I'm sorry.
We went to... My family went to church up until a certain point.
Uh-huh.
That I wouldn't call us super religious, but we did go to church on Sundays.
What religion was that?
Episcopalian.
Episcopalian, okay.
I was bar mitzvahed.
You were bar mitzvahed?
Yes.
Now, growing up, because we're about the same age, we're like, you know, not less than 10 years apart in age, all of us here.
Sure.
So we're all in the Cold War at some point. do you guys like had, was that buried in your brain at any point? Like, oh, the apocalypse is going to happen.
No, I have never, ever, ever thought that.
You never worried about that, like nuclear bombs coming?
When
like
I was a kid in third grade, there was a telemovie called The Day After.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they sent like letters to our parents saying, do not let your kids see this. We don't want to deal with this crap in the morning. Nightmares, all that. Basically, just kind of like a, let's just not show it to them. And then, but it was a big thing. We knew what it was about. We knew that it was scary. And then... yeah, it was always a big thing. I remember when Libya got bombed. Gaddafi got bombed. When Reagan bombed Gaddafi, I thought the world was going to come to the end. I think I was in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely growing up. And Sting used to write songs about people blowing each other up.
Yeah, I don't know why I was never afraid of it.
The Russians love their children, too?
Yes. That song haunted me. Dream of the Blue Turtles, y'all.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was a combination of that. And I was talking about this at the beginning of the show. My Catholic upbringing. That the world is going to end. I'm... like pretty sure that was gonna happen. They'd show things late at night on like not A Current Affair but something like that, and it was like these children and like Fatima or something like that, or somebody visited them, or Virgin Mary was talking to these kids supposedly, and they were like, "Oh, Virgin Mary told us that she's not gonna visit us again, except one more time, and when that happens, the world's gonna end." And I was like, "Oh man!" Like I knew it. I knew it was gonna happen in my lifetime. Like they talk about, like
it still might
second coming. Yeah, it still might. Except that stuff's garbage.
You don't think the Iranians bomb us if they could?
I don't. Do you think they're gonna bomb Austin?
No.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, it'll bomb New York, but won't make it to Texas.
In the 80s, do you remember the 80s re-release of Twilight Zone when they had the 1980s run of it?
The TV show or the movie?
The TV show, when they ran the TV show like, in the 80s. And
that one with that kid who can control everything and the girl winning the TV?
That was the movie.
That was the movie.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, they put the TV show back on TV.
There's a couple, like The Outer Limits and Amazing Stories.
Right, and there was one where this woman found this thing that could stop time. And at the very end, they launch a nuke, and it's about to hit the States. I don't remember where. And she freezes time, and then realizes that she has to stay frozen because the moment that she unfreezes, everybody is gonna die. And for some reason, that always gave me confidence that lady's gonna figure it. Even though that's where it ends, I was always like, that lady's gonna figure it out. She's gonna find a way to get that missile out of the sky. We're all okay.
She better start going to college and educating herself about how to dismantle a bomb.
Play that Dropkick Murphy song.
Well, but she could.
Hey! That's the song, all right. But the reason I bring this up is because they're like, oh, the Mayan calendar, 2012 is when the world's gonna end, and then it didn't, and they're like, oh, we meant 12/12/12 is when the world is going to end. And when I first heard about this stuff, I was like, of course this is garbage. But then a little part of me was like, oh, we should look into this though, right guys? Like we should definitely check this out though. Like I can't, whatever, my brain is just fried or like permanently hardwired. My, these neurons are never going to move. And so even though like I know that like, the Mayan calendar, like the Mayan calendar didn't even predict the end of the Mayans. Like it wasn't like, hey, how come the day planner ends here and then we have nothing after this date? And it's like, well, I don't know. Bad stand up here. This is like not, going to happen. But at the same time, like I just can't uncross those wires. It's like, oh, maybe it will, guys. Maybe it will. Like
I think if the world comes to an end, it's going to be more like an accident.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah,
I think somebody's just going to like pull out a plug or something or frack too far down or just something. It's not going to be like, I'm purposely going to blow up the world or somebody's going to predict it. It's just going to be an accidental plague.
Yeah.
Or an accidental like crack in everything. Or
like in the stand.
Or a giant earthquake.
Right.
They dropped that virus and then everyone got it. Except some people and they lived in Colorado.
But the earth's not going to go anywhere. We are. That's it. I mean, it's not like we're going to die. It's not like the earth's going to die. Earth's still going to be here.
If I was president, I would probably divert most of our money into preventing the apocalypse. Like, I don't know how our healthcare would be, but our, asteroid defense would be amazing. Like, we'd have these giant space cannons, like, ready to go at any time.
Big baseball bat.
Oh. That's like a President Bugs would come up with this.
Yes.
Yeah, build a giant bat. And then it would, like, hit
what
Mars.
What a maroon.
Yeah.
What a maroon.
He gets paid in carrots. He could not pronounce a lot of words.
Right.
Massacre. It's massacre, Bugs.
Massacre.
It's a massacre.
It's a regular massacre.
You dumb rabbit. Why do we put so much stock in that guy?
Because he's funny.
He's the best.
He's the funniest.
He was also he was a real jerk.
I'll tell you,
friend of the show, Jimena, keep bringing up one of her favorite episodes or cartoons featuring Bugs Bunny was the Gremlin one, where the Gremlin outsmarted Bugs.
The Gremlin.
Yeah, it was this little, because it was, I think it was like a World War II cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Because, pilots would like say something like, oh, it must be a gremlin, like when they hear a weird noise in the airplane. Right? Did I make that up?
I don't remember that one.
But it was this little like gremlin with like, he had sort of wings on either side of a flying helmet, and he just bedeviled bugs for an entire episode. Mm. And I didn't like it. I didn't like seeing bugs like dressed down. Mm. Like the idea of like, because Bugs' record, like how many cartoons he had, like let's say he had 80 cartoons, he's 79 and one. Mm. There's one where he lost, and I did not care for it.
Did you ever see the one where the coyote caught the Roadrunner?
No.
There's one. They did it, I think, like in the 80s. Uh-huh. 70s or 80s. It must have been late 70s, early 80s, where there's like a primetime special where Coyote's going to catch the Roadrunner.
Special.
And I remember wanting to see this so badly, it hurt. And my mom was like, all right, let's go to dinner. I'm like, no, we can't go to dinner tonight. I got to stay home. I have to see it. This is before VCRs.
Yeah.
And like, she's like, no, we're going to Roy Rogers. What are you talking about? I was like, I don't want to go. We go to Roy Rogers anytime. This is the only time this is ever going to happen. And I missed it.
Oh, no.
Is that what that Simpson thing is based off of? Where it's the episode where Scratchy finally gets itchy?
Yes, that's exactly what it's based off of.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you see that episode where Elmer Fudd, where Bugs had enough?
Yeah. No, I think I do remember this.
Yeah, he just quit?
No, well, I mean, so Elmer Fudd was a hunter in this one.
Uh-huh.
And he shot, he like winged Bugs, and he just nicked him though, but Bugs saw the blood. And he just freaked out. He was like, "He's like, you almost killed me." And then he went up and he put the gun right in. They were like trying to wrestle the gun out of his hands. Right. And he shot Elmer Fudd. And then Bugs was like, "What do I do with this body?" And so chop, 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 chop.
No.
Cut up the body, buried it in the woods.
Buried it in the woods. And
what
then,
are you talking about?
And then brought Elmer's entire family.
What?
We didn't even know he had a family at this point, but he had an entire family. And he brought them to the gravesite and murdered them all.
No.
And buried him right next to Elmer.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. And then Daffy came up and he's like, "You're acting real weird, Bugs." And then Bugs is like, "He knows." And then Daffy was next.
Yeah.
I don't like it, you guys.
He fed him poison beans.
poison jumping beans.
Yeah. But you know who sold him the beans? Of course, it was Yosemite Sam. So that guy was next.
Yeah, he knew too much.
You guys are talking. This is.
It was. And how he got Yosemite Sam was sick.
Yeah.
Like, that was awful. Like, he got his beard stuck in something.
No.
And he gave him a choice. He was like, saw off your beard.
Please don't.
Or you got to get stuck in this grinder. And so it seemed like okay, but then when he cut through his beard, it turns out that was part of him.
Yeah.
Like, so it was just all this blood, like, is pouring out of his beard.
I don't like the story.
He was part of some alien race. And yeah. His beard was part of his face.
Yeah, he was the planet Yosemite.
Right.
Yeah.
And it turns out that to contact the mothership, you yell, "My biscuits are burning."
Yeah, and he said that, and the mothership came down and killed the planet Earth.
My biscuits are burning?
Yeah, you know, Yosemite Sam would say, my biscuits are burning.
My biscuits are burning.
That's terrible. Oh, easy, come on. You say that three times in the mirror, S is going to go down. I got to stop using letters instead of profanity. I don't know why I'm doing that today. I never do it. So check that out. I think it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Google, what was the name of the episode, Lance? Do you remember?
I wish I could remember the name of it.
Oh, I remember. It was called Graduation Day.
Oh, that's right.
Which
that's
is a
right.
really weird, sort of ominous, like, title for a cartoon.
Yeah.
1989 was a weird year.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. they brought back Bugs Bunny in a really dark way.
They really did. They thought that this is what, because serial killers were huge. Late 80s, early 90s. Mm. Couldn't go anywhere.
That was their heyday.
That was. Not in real life. I mean, in entertainment. Because, I mean, there was an episode of Family Ties where they track a serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
You saw that one, of course, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, that was dark. Yeah. I'll never forget that scene where...
Played by Anson Williams of Happy Days.
That's true. Yeah. Which is weird because he played that same character from Happy Days.
Right.
Yeah. What was his name?
Potsy.
Potsy. Potsy was like, "Hey, are you Potsy?" And he's like, "I sure am." And then it got gruesome. A lot of hands being mailed to people. YouTube that episode of Family. What was the title of that episode of Family Ties?
A hair-raising experience.
Yeah, that was weird. It seemed to have Bugs Bunny-esque ties.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that episode.
There was that one time they asked Bugs Bunny. I was going to say Barack Obama.
Oh, that's my favorite Bugs Bunny.
They asked Barack Obama about that Bugs Bunny cartoon, and he just got quiet, and he said, "Interview over." Pulled out his
lav. Very sensitive.
Yeah, he pulled out his lav mic and threw it down and goes, "Stop it." He goes, "Not cool, man."
Wouldn't it be funny if the president was, like, super sensitive? Okay, everything personal. Like he doesn't come out on the campaign trail. Once he's elected, he's just like super like overly sensitive about everything.
He gets upset and he's constantly leaving interviews.
Yes.
So people have criticized.
What are you gonna do? We can't impeach him for that. It's just a personality trait.
You know, guys, I'm trying so hard, but you are not making it easy.
He's just kind of a wimp.
I remember watching the 04 debates between Kerry and Bush.
Yeah.
And they'd ask John Kerry about something about foreign policy. And Bush would get so incredulous.
Yeah.
And he would be like, he's like, oh, how would you deal with North Korea? He's like, well, I'm going to invite him down to a seven-nation talk or something like that. And Bush just had this look on his face like, I can't believe this idiot suggested. He's like, that's not going to work, dummy. And I was like, oh, Bush, such a smug jerk. But then I was watching a president I like, Obama, deal with the same thing with like Mitt Romney and kind of reacted in the same way. And then I was like, oh, it's just because some jerk who hasn't doing your job is telling you how to do your job.
There's got to be some crazy things that you learn once you're president
yeah.
that like just wouldn't even know unless you're president. You know what I mean?
Are you talking about like really crazy stuff or are you talking about like really, skills?
No, like really crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, listen, we can't bomb Iran because of this.
Yeah, yeah.
if we bomb it, or we're going to hit this and, you know, it's crazy stuff. It's aliens. Like, I bet you learn all about the aliens and stuff.
How can we just don't get rid of Hawaii? The Gelthar diamond mines are there. Right. Those things power half this country.
Exactly.
Corn? What? That's a joke. Can't make energy out of that. But guys, we're out of time.
No.
Yeah, we got to get going.
Why?
Because the hour's up. We got to make way for it looks like a special edition of Stronger Than Dirt.
Boo. Oh, yay.
No boo's the appropriate reaction. Well, Dave Buckman, what do you got coming up, Dave?
What am I got coming up? Saturdays at Coaltown, I'll be playing at the Frank Mills every Saturday night.
Yes, and partnering with Frank Mills every Saturday night is Midnight Society.
That's correct.
Featuring Lance Gilstrap. Guys, if you could find a better improv and show, go to it. But I guess what? I don't think you will.
Can I say real quick, Mac, also 8:30, I will be in Oscar Bait, improvised movies.
And that's not just tonight. That's going throughout the month?
Yeah, throughout the month on Saturdays at 8:30.
And next weekend, I might be at the Puppet Improv Project production of Off the Reef, Blacklight Puppetry Theater at the Doherty Arts Center. That's where I'll be. I don't know where you're going to be, but that's where I'll be.
Exactly. It sounds like a lot of fun stuff. It sounds like it's worth checking out. Maybe consider doing that. Dave and Lance, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was a whole lot of fun. Make sure you stay tuned for, The Clear Spot, Not Stronger Than Dirt.
Get well, David Harrah.
Yes. I hope you fight off Lord Gamblor. Speaking of Divine Fits, which I was earlier, I'm going to leave the show with Civilian Stripes off of their album, a thing called Divine Fits. Mascot Winning Show back next week. Meow.
Go and do what you want, you know. You can always leave when the curtain drops and you get tired, tired, tired. Out in the rain, past down to the sky, you're trying.